From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. Well, with the dog days of summer in full swing, a lot of folks are staying indoors, which means you might be wondering what in the world to watch, whether it's on the big or the small screen. Well, don't worry. Our resident movie critic and Morning Edition host, George Prentice, is joining us to give us some great ideas. Hi, George.
Hi, Gemma. You caught me turning the AC down here, but someone's going to slap my hand. My gosh.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy cow.
I hope you're staying cool.
Ooh, I am doing my best. I went outside to sit on the back patio last night and had to come back inside.
Absolutely. It's like in the 80s or 90s, like it's 7 and 8 o'clock at night.
It's crazy right now.
Yeah, what's that?
Okay, so because of that, we need to be inside, maybe watching things. But before we get to what to watch, we've talked a little bit about this in the past, George. Talked about Netflix and some of the struggles they've had. Okay, they're back in the news, and this isn't necessarily good news.
Netflix is having a pretty terrible year. And this week on Tuesday, Netflix executives and the rest of us heard these headlines.
Tonight, streaming giant Netflix announced it was still losing subscribers, nearly a million in the last 3 months.
Netflix says it lost nearly 1 million subscribers between April and June.
The second quarter loss came after a first quarter loss.
Streaming giant Netflix says it lost nearly a million subscribers in the second quarter of 2022. That's according to the company's second quarter earnings report released Tuesday.
Now, there's one thing about lowering expectations, but Netflix executives said Tuesday morning, well, at least we didn't lose 2 million more customers. We only lost 1
what?
Million. Guys,
That,
like, you're a publicly held company. That's not what you tell shareholders.
Wow.
So Netflix is in trouble. So what are they going to do? Well, number one, they're going to do something that they said they would never do. Later this year, they will begin another tier that will include advertising. And number two, they're going to produce and purchase less content. And they say focus on higher prestige projects. They're also seriously considering not releasing all of the episodes of a series all at once in order to build buzz. This could blow up in their face, though. It's no secret that Netflix wants to crack down on password sharing. So they're going to try this, where they charge you extra for each different location that logs into your Netflix account. So if you want to start adding more homes, hint, hint, that means password sharing, you will be prompted to pay an extra $3 a month. I think this is how you lose customers, but we'll see. Someone has penciled this out. But I think that Amazon and Disney are just sitting back and watching this happen. Netflix is changing, but they're losing customers, millions of them, and the year's only half over.
So, George, can I tell you, so Hulu does this thing where I think you get four different times a year where you can switch your password location.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's like, oh, sorry, we're cutting you off. And you have to pay more or something like this.
But they give you X number of opportunities, right?
They do.
Okay.
Can I tell you how many times I've had to call them and be like, we were on vacation in a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you run into that. Even if you're not password sharing, if you go anywhere outside of your home, they track it. And yet they assume you password share. And it makes me a very unhappy customer.
So my question to you is, what's the response? Do they accommodate you or do they insist? They do. Because I think that's the key, because that's what you will tell other customers. That's the definition of service.
Yep. Hulu every single time has been great. They've reset it. It hasn't been a problem.
Mm.
And so I would hope that Netflix, if they're going to do this, they need to take a play out of the Hulu playbook then.
How many millions of people on this planet share a Netflix password? I bet you they've got three times as many customers, probably, that only a third of them are paying. So,
well, here's my thing too, though. Does that mean you can't share with your kids, like your juvenile? I mean, my kids don't have their own Netflix account. They're on our account.
How many kids go off to college and use their parents' account? So anyway, this is all going to happen by the end of this year, and they want to charge you an extra $3 a pop for every different location.
Well, I'm just waiting for the final season of Stranger Things to come out. And then...
Don't say it. But Netflix is certainly in transition. I think a lot of us are waiting for the final season of The Crown.
Yeah.
But they have come out and said, yeah, we're actually going to have less content.
Well, I think it's interesting too, George, that they really started the whole streaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Netflix really is. I mean, they were the ones that I think all of these other networks looked at, and they looked at how well Netflix was doing. And I wonder too, though, if part of it isn't just the password sharing and all that, but there are so many other options now.
Absolutely.
It used to be that all we had was Netflix. And it's kind of like if you don't keep up, you are no longer relevant. So is it a relevancy issue as well?
Absolutely. And we are all now finding this interesting new place. As some people return to theaters, we are still looking on how we balance, number one, our discretionary funds, right? Our entertainment dollars.
Right.
And then
yep.
number two, where do we get our entertainment from? And, you know, a lot of households, this is part of a budget. And, you know, can you afford 5 and 6 streaming services?
Exactly.
Probably not.
Right. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the actual movies.
Yep.
Because you say there's a really charming new film that we should be seeing.
I love this film. And just hear me out on this. This is a movie about a 1-inch tall shell with one googly eye and some 2 feet, a couple of swell pink sneakers. And his name is Marcel, and he's a bit chatty. He has a falsetto voice. The voice, by the way, is Jenny Slate, formerly of Saturday Night Live. And Marcel the Shell, I'm late to this party, but I have been told, is an internet sensation for the past decade. And this is Marcel the Shell's big screen moment. So in Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, the movie, there's Dean, who actually lives in this Airbnb where Marcel lives with his grandma, Connie, and Marcel has a pet Lint. He calls Alan. Alan doesn't talk.
He has a pet Lint?
Yeah. I swear, the morning after I saw this movie, I thought I had eaten Chinese food and I dreamed this. But it truly exists. Anyway, Dean is a budding cinematographer and he decides to start filming Marcel. So let's listen.
Rolling. Give me some levels.
Give you some levels? Like?
Just like talk?
Like, hello, my name is it's not the first time I've done that. My name is Marcel, and I'm partially a shell, as you can see on my body, but I also have shoes, and so I like that about myself, and I like myself, and I have a lot of other great qualities as well.
That is so sweet.
So Marcel and Connie, and again, Connie is his grandma, by the way, voiced by Isabella Rossellini. Their passion on Sunday nights is to curl up on a couch. Now, their couch is actually a half-opened hot dog bun. That's about their size. But they love to watch 60 Minutes on Sunday nights. I kid you not. So Dean decides to start putting these videos of Marcel online on YouTube, and someone from 60 Minutes calls Marcel because Marcel has lost his relatives in an unfortunate sock drawer incident. And they say, can we send out a film crew? And they say, yeah. And guess who shows up with a full film crew? Leslie Stahl. And all of 60 Minutes is there. And here they are on 60 Minutes. Let's listen.
Good things come in small packages. An old idea, but one you'll see tonight in a new light. In the only interview he's given since becoming an internet phenom, Marcel the Shell shares his unique perspective on what we take for granted. He adds new meanings to the simplest of ideas. Marcel, a 1-inch tall shell, reminds us of the true value of community.
Marcel, how long has it been since you've seen your family?
Well, I don't do the clock the way that you guys do the clock. Right. But I think I'm watching the changes in the trees and the flowers that have bloomed and the blossoms that have fallen, the buds that have come and bloomed again. So I couldn't tell you, but the space in my heart gets bigger and louder every day.
Mm. Dean, do you know how long?
That's 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice to know.
So it's poetic, and then all of a sudden you say, "Yeah, that's 2 years." Oh. So there, it's poetic. It's funny. I think kids will like this film. It's animated in that Marcel is stop motion animation, but it's filmed in real life. It opens tomorrow at the Flix. And I've been telling people about this, and anyone under the age of 30 has told me, "Yeah, I know Marcel the Shell." And I said, "You do? Well, guess what? There's a movie." And they didn't know there was a movie. Well, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On opens tomorrow. It's a great word-of-mouth movie. It is unlike anything you've seen. I don't know what category to put it into other than charming. Is it worth admission? Oh, yeah, and then some. And by the way, the fact that it opens at the Flix, this is definitely a movie to have with an alcoholic beverage.
Okay, good advice.
Yeah.
All right. And if we're staying home.
Yep.
Okay, George, Shark Week is back.
One of the most successful summertime blocks of programming ever. Its 34th season of Shark Week begins Sunday. It means that if you're under the age of 30, Shark Week has existed since before you were born. You've never not known Shark Week. On the day you were born, someone could have said, "Boy, I'm really looking forward to Shark Week." Well, anyway, here is a marine biologist trying to conduct an underwater ultrasound of a pregnant tiger shark, but things go bad real fast.
Dr. James Sulikowski risks life and limb to get an ultrasound on a 12-foot tiger shark.
I need to get a little closer. Watch my back.
But the dive quickly descends into chaos. Even more sharks respond to the commotion.
This is out of hand. This is too dangerous.
Dive over! Back the boat now!
Why do we watch Shark Week? I don't know. The host of Shark Week this year is none other than Dwayne Johnson. That's how popular it is on Discovery. It is clearly Discovery's highest ratings of the year. I think you've really made it when you become part of pop culture. There was an episode on 30 Rock when the character that Tracy Morgan played, and he's turning to Kenneth the Page, and Tracy gives these words of advice. Live every week like it's Shark Week. Right? And okay, I think that those are words to live by. Anyway, Shark Week, yes, returns on Sunday on a cable station near you.
And it's all week since it's Shark Week.
And then some.
All right, George. I love myself a good documentary. Mm-hmm. And you say there's one we should watch. And this is about Hollywood.
It is. I am very excited about this. It is the premiere of a unique new docuseries on HBO. It is called The Last Movie Stars, and they are Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. Now, keep in mind, when they first met, when they got married, it was Joanne Woodward who was the bigger star. She won the Oscar for Three Faces of Eve when she was in her 20s, and Paul Newman was just kind of a matinee idol. But as we learn, Paul Newman became, Paul Newman because of Joanne Woodward and how she saw him, his incredible charisma and that special something behind those blue eyes. It turns out that Paul Newman considered writing a memoir, and what a memoir that would have been. He spent years interviewing everyone and anyone, including co-stars, directors, family, but being Paul Newman, he thought too much about it, and he destroyed the tapes. He literally burned the tapes. But then, just a couple of years ago, one of Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward's daughters contacted actor Ethan Hawke, who has turned into a pretty good director, and she said, would you like to tell this story? And he said, sure, but the tapes were destroyed. Well, the daughter told him that Paul Newman had the tapes transcribed, and they were buried in a box in the garage. So among all of these amazing clips, we actually hear the voices of Joanne Woodward and Paul Newman voiced by some wonderful actors. George Clooney is Paul Newman. Laura Linney is Joanne Woodward. This is a wonderful series. So listen to this clip. Here's Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward, voiced by George Clooney and Laura Linney, when they were renewing their vows.
Happiness in marriage is not something that just happens.
Marriage is not something
a good
that
marriage
just
must
happens.
Be created.
A good marriage must be created. It is
standing together,
facing the world.
Facing
it is
the
not
world.
Looking for perfection in each other. It is cultivating flexibility and a
it
sense of
it is cultivating flexibility, patience, understanding.
It is doing things for each other, not in the humor. Attitude of duty or sacrifice, but in the spirit of joy.
It is having the,
it
capacity,
is having the capacity
to forgive and forget. It is finding room for the things of the spirit. It is a common search.
It is a common search for the good and the beautiful.
The search for the good in the beautiful.
Wow.
Wow. So who was Paul Newman? HUD? Henry Gandolf in The Sting? Michael Gallagher in The Verdict? Fast Eddie in The Hustler? Well, I think for a lot of us, he will always be Butch Cassidy. I can't watch Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid enough. It stands alone. Many have tried to copy it, but to no avail. In the middle of a Western, also an action, a drama, and a comedy, there's a scene in Butch Cassidy that only Paul Newman could have pulled off with a very hummable pop song. And here's Butch Cassidy riding a bicycle in the middle of a Western.
Raindrops are falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big for his.
And who could have pulled that off? Only Paul Newman, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an iconic moment in a film that it's almost European. It's like, what are they doing? And he's just clowning around on a bicycle. The song was a major hit. But who were Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kids? They were the original anti-heroes, right? It's a very sad ending, and yet it's a lovely film. And only Paul Newman and Robert Redford could pull that off. So years later, when Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward were being honored by the Kennedy Center, and no one tells you who will come out to say anything, a lot of people gasped when Robert Redford, who doesn't show up to too many of these things, walked out onto the stage of the Kennedy Center.
We've had quite a road together, Paul and I. Jumped off cliffs. We've robbed trains, pulled off a sting or two, but we've also shared a lot of practical jokes with each other. He's endured a lot of my traits. I've endured a lot of his. A lot of bad jokes. He will tell a joke. I remember he would tell a joke maybe 9:30 in the morning when we were working. And I thought, boy, pretty bad joke, but, well, he's a good man. And so I'll endure that. It's okay. So then at 11 o'clock, he'd tell the same joke. And when 4 o'clock came and he was telling it yet again, I thought, this is going to be a test. He's a generous man who brings the gift of giving to each day. And he never asks for reward or recognition. His friendship, I can attest to. I mean, to give you an idea about the kind of friend he's been to me, there was a time a while back when I was trying to get an apartment in New York. And for those of you who've been through this, you know, it's kind of rough when you have to go before a board. And it was a really strict board, and I really needed to impress them with credentials. So I wrote to a few friends if they would support me and give me references. And I'd like to share with you tonight the letter that Paul wrote the board. To whom it may concern, Mr. Robert Redford has owed me $120 for over 3 years. he He will not assume his obligation under threat of loss of friendship, honor, loyalty. I cannot, in good conscience, recommend him for anything.
Well, The Last Movie Stars begins tonight on HBO. All the episodes stream all at once on HBO Max. I've seen all the episodes. I cannot recommend this enough.
And, you know, they were married for 50 years. And that's a feat with regular folks.
Absolutely. Paul Newman lost to cancer. We understand that Joanne Woodward currently diagnosed with Alzheimer's. But a lot of people wondered, it's like, they couldn't connect these two, but they were just best friends. He directed her in some of her best performances. And then their charitable giving, well, it's the gold standard. Paul Newman popcorn, spaghetti sauce, and salsa. In this documentary, we learned that something like $700 million to $1 billion has gone to charity. And of course, we've heard about the hole in the wall camps for kids with life challenging diseases. And Paul and Joanne were there every summer with these kids who may not have made it through the rest of the year, but that's who they were. They were politically engaged. They wore their citizenship on their sleeves. They are indeed probably the last movie stars.
Oh, absolutely. So when does this begin and where do we watch it, George?
Tonight on HBO.
Okay. Okay. Before we wrap up, I have seen more commercials for game shows.
Yeah.
And this takes me back to my childhood, George.
Absolutely.
When you come home after school and there'd be game shows on. And then they kind of went by the wayside.
So game shows are cheap to produce, it turns out. So the networks are going crazy. ABC, I've lost count. Let's see. There's The New Pyramid, Family Feud, Press Your Luck, To Tell the Truth. It's kind of, like you said, we're in a time warp. These were shows from the 70s and 80s. Now, I'm actually excited about Password is coming back to primetime on NBC. Password was always my favorite game show because it's so simple. You try to get someone to say a word by giving a word. Jimmy Fallon has been playing Password on The Tonight Show for the past several years. He gets all of the top celebrities, and they love it. So Jimmy Fallon is producing this for NBC primetime. On the first few episodes, there will be, Reese Witherspoon and Martin Short and John Hamm. Here's Hugh Jackman and Nick Offerman playing against Jimmy Fallon and Reese Witherspoon.
My goodness, the rules of the game are very simple.
Simple rules.
Yes, simple. I will give each of you a password.
Uh-huh.
Then each of you are to give a one-word clue. That's one word only. Uh-huh. Jimmy and Hugh, we'll start with you. And Hugh?
The password is dolphin.
Okay, Hugh. We'll
Flipper.
Dolphin.
You.
Yeah. And it turns out that celebrities like playing this. So I dug into the vault. You know how I love digging into the vault. I found something from the 70s when the Odd Couple, remember Tony Randall and Jack Klugman? They went on Password. And of course, it was Felix and Oscar who couldn't get along with anything. And here they were when they appeared on Password.
You have the word. And if they look at it, we'd like you to see it.
The password is bird.
All right, Felix, you have the option this time. Pass or play?
I'll play, Ellen.
10 points.
Aristophanes.
Greek.
9 points, Millicent.
Canary.
Bird.
You got it! And so, with a score of 17-0, we pause for these messages.
Now listen, no more Greek clues. Aristophanes is ridiculous.
Stand by.
Okay, back to the game. And the word goes to Oscar Madison, Betty White with a score of 17-0. This is the word.
The password is ridiculous.
All right. Oscar, you have the option. Pass or play?
I'm going to play, Alan. Aristophanes.
Ridiculous. You got it.
Password returns to network television. By the way, Password started in the 50s on CBS. It used to be a primetime show back then, too. But yeah, game shows are back. And the ones that we can play along, I mean, let's face it, Wheel of Fortune is Hangman, right? Jeopardy is just, hey, here's the questions, here's the answers. And those are the most popular ones. And I think most people can play Password.
You would hope.
Yeah.
Well, George, as always, it is so lovely to have you on. Love having you on talking to us about all of this.
Thanks so much, Gemma. Thanks for giving me a home with all of my silliness.
Oh, my goodness. Always. We've been talking with resident movie critic and Morning Edition host George Prentice.